That's not God's will. We come and we're delighted to do His will. And we come in those doors, church, with the attitude of who can I minister to? Who can I bless? Who can I hug and just say, I love you? That's the whole point. It's a church.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things.
We continue in the Building Foundation series, with only a couple teachings left before we reach the end of our verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. Now last time, we saw that true repentance requires more than sorrow. It calls for real change. So today, as we come to Ezra chapter 10, verses 9 through 17, with the message titled, The Cleansing of the People. In this passage, the people gather together in the rain, trembling not only because of the weather, but because they know sin must be dealt with honestly. Ezra calls them to confession and obedience. And though the process is difficult, the people respond. This isn't about punishment for punishment's sake. It's about restoring a people who had drifted away from God's ways. Cleansing comes through humility, honesty, and a willingness to let God correct what has gone wrong. God's goal is never simply exposure. It's restoration. He confronts sin so hearts can be healed and foundations can be rebuilt. When God brings conviction into your life, do you resist it or receive it as part of His loving work to restore and strengthen you? Let's join Pastor Ben in Ezra chapter 10, verses 9 through 17 in today's title, The Cleansing of the People. And here's Pastor Ben.
I like control. Come on, somebody. Especially in an airplane. And I have no control in an airplane. Now, for the most part, I lay pretty cool. We were flying back from Florida and we were in Austin and I didn't bother to check the weather. And I thought, okay, it's a hop, skip, and a jump. I think we're flying from Austin straight to here or to Dallas. You know how that goes. Anyway, long story short, there was a storm there. I didn't realize there was a storm. And I'm sitting there, right? And so it's always a little bumpy and you're cool with that, right? You're just like, yeah. And then it got really, really bumpy. Lightning, rain, you couldn't see outside the window. And for like half a second, I almost had a panic attack. I mean, normally I'm really good. I've flown a lot of places, flown to Israel. But this one, for some reason, I was like, okay, I've had enough. I'm good. And it's going like this. And you've seen everybody's heads bobbing like this. And you're just like, those are the times we want to be in control, isn't it? And I think life is a lot like that. We're not in control. God is. There's a source of the power idolatry, power and influence over others, right? This is we want to have power. We want to have influence over others. I think a nightmare for that would be humiliation. And here's where it gets scary, because it's not about winning. It's about not losing. And so the problem emotion with the power idolatry is anger. Anger. My little grandson was at the track meet just on Monday, and he was playing with another little kid. This kid's 6 years old and a lot faster than him. But as they were racing, because it's track and Cordy's out there running, I could see Jesse run as fast as he could, but he'd stick his arm out like this to hold this other kid back. And then he'd get mad when this little kid beat him. This kid's a lot old, but nobody taught him that. He would just take off, he'd go ready, and they'd sit there and they'd go. And about 2-3 yards down, he'd do this. And Grandpa's going, Jesse, no, just run. And so again, I mean, think about this. Sometimes for people, guys, it's not just about winning. It's about not losing. So you have surface idols. You have source idols. Well, what happened to Israel is they didn't repent. So they were taken into captivity 70 years in Babylon. Ezra pleads with them not to make the same mistake. Guys, what are you doing? What are you doing? You need to repent. Let's cleanse themselves by confession and obedience. And so picking up our study in verse 9, and if you're taking notes, I'm calling this message, The Cleansing of the People. they were given 3 days to come to Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, let's go back to verse 7, and then we'll jump into our text. And they issued a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the descendants of the captivity that they must gather at Jerusalem, and that whoever would not come within 3 days, according to the instructions of the leaders, the elders, all his property would be confiscated and he himself would be separated from the assembly of those from captivity. We talked about that last week. Now, verse 9. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered at Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, the 20th of the month, and all the people sat in the open square of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and because of heavy rain. Your attention, please. They gathered this day, December 8th, 457 BC. And the people trembled for two reasons. Jot this down. They feared God's punishment. We have sinned. And so they're scared. But the Bible says they also trembled because it was raining and it was cold. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? There they are. They come. Hey, everybody, got to be here in 3 days. Let's go. And they come down. And so they're like, oh, man, what is like, I don't know if you've ever been called into the principal's office. I don't know if you've ever been in trouble and dad's waiting for you. I mean, you always got that, right? You always got, wait till your dad gets home. It's like, oh, right. They're trembling. They know what type of punishment, but it's also raining and cold and they're out there. But what I find interesting, guys, is this is a remarkable response. You go, why? Because Ezra says, hey, everybody, we got to get right. This is a serious thing. We got to get right with God. And you know what they did? They said, let's go. This is the moving of the Holy Spirit among God's people. We got to go. We got to get this right. Their response had been seen again as the Holy Spirit had moved upon God's people. In March of 1859, at the beginning of the great move of God that would bring more than 1 million souls to conversion in Great Britain, listen to this, some unordained men with a passion for revival preached at the First Presbyterian Church in Ahogill, Northern Ireland. There was such a large crowd at the meeting that they had to dismiss the meeting out of the fear that the balconies would collapse under the weight of so many people. They took the meeting to the street right outside the street. In the freezing rain, James McQuilkin preached to 3,000 people in the streets. True story. With many of the listeners falling to their knees in the wet, muddy street because they were so moved by the conviction of sin under the preaching of these laymen. Think about that. Our prayer, church, should be that the fire will fall once again, that we will be moved by our conviction to confession and repentance. Number one, as a nation, you go, amen. We pray that every Thursday. We prayed that this last Sunday. As a people, and specifically as a church, this is what we need to pray. We're so good, church, listen to me. We're so good at hiding, and we're so good at deflecting everything. And here, hey, you're in sin. You need to get to Jerusalem. We need to take care of this matter. And here they came, weeping. And I mean, but here's the beauty. They were trembling because they were afraid of what God was going to do. But we can run to the cross. The new covenant says, listen, Jesus took the punishment. Now, it might be a sin where you'll have to bear the consequences. But as far as punishment, Jesus took that. So these people have a different mindset. They don't have the Lord Jesus. They don't have the Holy Spirit going, hey, let's go. That's not pleasing to me. Knock it off. They don't have that. We do. And we can run to the cross and go, Lord, I lay before you. Well, what did Ezra do? Verse 10, then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. You know what I want you to write here, guys? Notice what Ezra say. He was what? He was clear and strong. The Holy Spirit, you can see, is moving, but Ezra was like, look, this is what you do. Now, Ezra had a loving heart. And so I don't think up and he said, you've sinned, you know, and just really condemned them. I don't think that. I think he was like, guys, you've transgressed. God, why would you do this? Listen, church. Listen to me, church. Calvary Chapel, we're supposed to love people back to life, but you realize that a dead person stinketh. You go, what do you mean? If there's somebody who's not alive, but they knew Jesus, and you want to love them back to life, it's the dirty part before they come back to life. They're not clean. They're not gracious. And sometimes you have to go, hey, listen, this is what you've done. Come on back. Well, yeah, but you don't. No. Come on back. I'll work with you. You know what that's going to be like? It's called discipleship. And I'll tell you what it's going to be like. It's going to be like they'll stand you up. Yeah, we were supposed to have coffee. They didn't show. They'll talk about you. Yeah, they were saying some stuff about, but we love them. They're coming back. They're coming home. Don't worry. God's going to do a work. It's hard. It's tough. We want all the easy ones. We want people that are all saved and then happy and lucky. Oh, yeah, I have coffee with you. That's great. What about Jesus? It's great. But when we love people back to life, you have to know that they're dead. You ready? Dead people stinketh. And we have to live with that. We don't judge. We love them. Hey, listen, let's get back. This is what Ezra's doing. Let's get back. But I love this. I love how Pastor Ezra was very clear. You know why? Because here's what it says. The people were not saying, oh, I'm not sure what you mean. What's sin? He goes, you transgressed. Well, what did we do? You've taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. You know that was wrong. You've done that. Verse 11. Now, therefore, here's what he tells them. Make confession to the Lord of your godfathers and do his will. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the pagan wives. Now, here begins the cleansing of the people. Confess, obey, and separate yourselves. This was a clear call to both confession, now ready, and repentance. Repentance. Okay? If you have a pencil handy, you're going to want to make this down. Why? Because the word confession to the Lord is the word todah. T-O-D-A-H, todah. And it's made up of two words. Todah and yada. You ready? Todah and yada. That's what confession is. And if you translate it out like this, it says to worship, to cast out, to confess, and to bow down. When we call for if the Lord is moving on your heart and you need to do work with the Lord and you need to confess, it is todah and yada. It is worship. Confession is worship. To cast out, Lord, forgive me. To confess those things, to bow down before the Lord. He says to Israel, make a todah and a yada to the Lord. And he says, and do his will. And the word there in the Hebrew is delight in doing his will. Delight in doing his will. God's will for us is not a drudgery. Oh, guess I have to do God's will. Well, come on, honey, it's Wednesday. Got to go to church. Hurry up. Got to do God's will. He'll call. Pastor Ben will call me. He'll call me. You'll wonder why. That's not God's will. We come and we're delighted to do his will. What? Okay. And we come in those doors, church, with the attitude of who can I minister to? Who can I bless? Who can I hug and just say, I love you? That's the whole point. It's a church. And it's delight in doing good. Delight in doing good. His will and his good pleasure. Let's look at the response of the assembly. Verse 12. Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, yes, as you have said, we must do. Okay, let's try it, church. Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice,
yes.
Yeah, it was awesome. That's what they said. As you have said, we must do. But there are many people, okay, there was a lot of them. It is a season for heavy rain. They're freezing, and they were not able to stand outside. Nor is this work for one or two days. For there are many of us who have transgressed in this matter. That's a sad face right there. Okay, there was a lot of people. Look at verse 14. Please let the leaders of our entire assembly stand. Let all those in the cities who have taken pagan wives come at the appointed time, together with the elders, the judges of the cities, until fierce wrath of our God has turned away from this matter. From this matter, okay? So think about this. this was just a remarkable evidence. I mean, as many of you said yes, this is what they were saying, yes. And the yes was a moving from the Holy Spirit upon the people. And they were in agreement with Ezra. But he says, but here's what I realized. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. This is going to take some time. It's going to take some time. We need to get this right. So let's do it with very little opposition. Let's go. You ready? Now, I want to go back real quick. Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, help me, church.
Yes.
Okay. Look at verse 15. Only Jonathan, the son of Eshel, and Jehaziah, the son of Tikva, opposed this. And Meshulam and Sabathani, the Levite, gave them support. Why these four men opposed this measure is unclear. You know what you're thinking? Yeah, every party has a pooper. These guys were like, we don't agree. Every one of you said yes, but there's always somebody who's going, And you got to give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Perhaps they were protecting themselves. You know, they probably might have said, but he didn't understand. Ezra doesn't understand. I love her. I am in love with her. I am not going to send her away. Maybe it was their relatives. Maybe they thought, oh, no. This decree, Ezra, it's too harsh. It's too harsh. We don't know why they opposed this, but we know these four men did. Verse 16 and 17 says this, then the descendants of captivity did so. And Ezra the priest, with certain heads of the father's household, were set apart by the father's household, each of them by name. And they sat down on the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. By the first day of the first month, they finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. Now, there's a reason they did it this way. You go, why? Well, the whole process took a lot of weeks, right? Because a lot of men had taken pagan wives. But the questioning was necessary. You go, why, Ben? Because they wanted to examine if any of these wives had genuinely decided to serve the Lord. She had to forsake her native religions, but she had to serve the Lord. If you brought them in and you said, okay, here you go. You took a foreign wife. Okay. Well, where do you stand right now? Well, he loves God and I love God and I'm going to follow him. Well, they wanted to make sure, but if she came in and goes, I'm still worshiping Baal. Well, lady, you got to go. They had to go through all the process. They had to go all the process. So it's a process because Israel had sinned, but they wanted to make sure. They wanted to make sure. As we come to a close in our Bible study tonight, what about us? What about us? Many times I'll say it's important to read the scripture, church, but it's oftentimes important that the scripture read us. And I'd like to close tonight by slowly reading Psalm 51. You can turn there if you want to, but I pray this should be our confession, whatever it might be. Now, listen to me very carefully. You might not be in the midst of sin right now. You might not be marrying, quote unquote, a pagan woman and disobedience to God's word. You may not be there at all. But what if you are? Or what if there's something in your life that is hindering your walk with God? And through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, now you're receiving that. And I believe that we should have the same thing that David talks about in Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone in with Bathsheba. David he's broken. But notice what he writes. This is a great psalm. You ready? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Notice what he says. Blot out my transgressions. Before we go to verse 2, notice that David doesn't say, it wasn't my fault. I was born this way. I didn't do it. He was not making excuses. You know what he's doing? He's falling on the mercy of God. Notice verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Notice what he says. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. Guys, he went into Bathsheba. He had Uriah killed. You know what he was going through right now? Such amazing guilt that he has to go, look, my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me known to wisdom. Now, before we go on, just your attention, please. If you've watched that Netflix, or The House of David, they make David's mother out to be something that the scripture doesn't say. And they get it from here. Because he says, as he writes, he says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So they make her to believe that whether she was a prostitute or something else. But here's what I'll tell you. Where the scripture is silent, we're silent. Okay? But just kind of know this is where it came from. This is where it's like they take a little bit of liberties. And then if you've ever watched The House of David, you'll see it's like, wait, was that, why is Jesse so upset with David's mother and treating her like a, anyway, this is where it is. Okay? He says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. I love this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Church, if you're here tonight and you need to just do some work with God, my question to you, my question to me, is there anything that's hindering your walk with God? Anything that you're allowing in your eye gate, in your ear gate, that's circling in your heart? Is there an altar that we've erected? Is there anything? And you go, Ben, I don't know. Well, take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is there something? And if he brings it to mind, that's when we have to do work. And that's where we confess, Lord, forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew the right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. I love that song. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew the right spirit within me. Father, tonight we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, as we always close with an ending song and an ending worship. I pray that if we have to do work with you, tonight's the night, Lord. They did it in the book of Ezra, and tonight we're doing it. We confess our sin to you, God. We repent, and we come clean before you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we are reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio,
4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.